How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
And we're live. Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Lakers Live Edition. I am in my house again. I am not on location. I am not out in beautiful Huntington, California. Instead, I am in La Habra Heights, California, which, you know, I'm not going to complain about what that looks like either. There isn't very much going on right now regarding our Lakers, so I decided, hey, let's just jump on here, have an open conversation like we usually like to. While the Dodgers play in the background, and Corey Seager just grounded out. Oh, he beat out a double play. So, Super Kid, Wonder Kid, Corey Seager is now on first base with two outs and in a 0-0 tie in the top of the sixth against the Yankees. So, that's fun. We started, as always, you can find this work, you know, with all these Facebook Live videos. We are going to pull the video down, or not pull the video down, but upload it into our feed, and you can follow our feed on Audio Boom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and then today's Fast Break. This show, as with every other show that we do, is brought to you in part by SeatGeek, and make sure you're using that promo code LOLakers to get a $20 rebate on purchases using that application. And without further ado, let's just go ahead and get into this. As always, we send out the notification that I'm going to be going live here a few hours before I go. Silver Screen and Roll is nice enough to do that. As you'll notice, Harrison is not here. There is no Harrison here. You're going to have to fight through just my voice for the next 20 minutes or so. But the first question that we got was, is announcing it's Anthony supposed to make me want to tune in? That's from Jamie Rico, founder of Laker Pulse. Yes, Jamie, it is. It is supposed to make you tune in, and I would hope you did, because for that very reason, just to hear me talk to you right now that I am on the air. And then my ever-supportive co-host, Harrison, asked, why are they giving tours of your takes? And sent me a picture of a headline, Trash Tours Explain Recycling Products. That was just mean. But my takes are better than his, so I'm not sure what he's trying to say there. And let's see. Ryan Kellepire asks, why is Anthony going on Facebook Live when he should be in the gym instead? I'm literally about to go. No, I'm not going to the gym. Actually, I just left. Nope, no, I didn't just leave the gym either. I am still plump and enjoying being plump, and will probably be plump for quite a while. So getting in the gym is for single people. Sorry, Jen. All right, we'll go on, and I think we have some actual questions here. Let me go through my timeline here. Somebody asked a second ago, why is Nick Young still with the Lakers? They should waive him ASAP. All right, so this is actually going to be a little bit longer of a conversation. I'll go ahead and open up on this because it's fun. Nick Young, there is no reason for the Lakers to waive Nick Young right now. They could, and they would like to free up as much cap space and get him probably away from the kids as quickly as they could. But why do that when there is the possibility that as we get closer to the season, Nick Young's value might go up, right? And if his value goes up and they're somehow able to move him for a conditional second round pick and not have to worry about trying to convince him to take a buyout, trying to stretch him and then have that to worry about in terms of cap space next year when they're going to hopefully be a little bit more intriguing for opposing, or not opposing, but potential free agents and good players. You would like to have as much cap space as you can possibly get, but that's just not the case right now. So what they're going to do, I would imagine, is keep him on the team as we head into training camp and see if, you know, the narrative around him can improve and his value can improve and potentially trade him as we get closer to the regular season. But it would still shock me. It would honestly, legitimately shock me if he was on the Lakers roster at the beginning of the regular season. It's just the roster, for one thing, is really crowded. So I don't know if there's really a role for him on the team. And if there's one thing that you don't want on the Lakers roster, as it's currently constructed with so many young guys, is a immature and unhappy... Oh, there goes my dog. She agrees. An immature... Callie. An immature and unhappy Nick Young. And that's what you would have if you have somebody like him on your team at the end of the bench who just doesn't have the opportunity to play. So would it be most ideal to not have him on the team anymore? Yes. Will I probably celebrate when they do finally trade, waive, or buy him out? Yes. Or stretch him out? Yes. But there's just no reason to force a transaction right now when you don't absolutely have to. So that's the that's what's going on there with Nick Young. Christian Villegas at CRISM728 asks, which Laker are you most excited to watch this season? The answer to that is Timofey Mozgov, and here's why. Oh, my internet just cut out. I am most excited to watch. The easy answer here is D'Angelo Russell, right? The easy answer, the easy response to a question like that is the guy with the highest ceiling, I would say, on the Lakers, who will have the ball the most of any Laker, I would imagine, this year. And somebody who, I hate the term star power because it's intangible. It's impossible to prove that that's actually the case. But he does seem to have some of that, right? Like he seems to carry himself on a court and guys around him respond to him the way that people's respond to a superstar teammate. And don't be surprised this year if you start to hear some of that most improved player and that kind of stuff talk. So that's D'Angelo Russell is the easy question, the easy answer to who I'm most excited to watch this season. The guy, if I had to pick somebody, be a little bit more creative. And I probably should have thought of this ahead of time before I went this route. But I would say the guy I'm most excited to watch play is probably going to be Luol Deng. And here's why. Matt Moore of CBS, also Hardwood Paroxysm, wrote a really cool article about the most underrated players from each and every team in the NBA. And there were guys, you know, there were young guys that he mentioned, there were old guys that he mentioned, and the guy that he mentioned for the Lakers was Lou Williams. And I guess, you know, I'm not sure how he broke that down, but for me it's Luol Deng. And you know, yes, he signed a contract that probably is a little bit higher than we would have expected to sign, but that's what the Lakers had to do to get him, right? And you have, you know, fans who will be legitimately upset if Luol Deng is not or is starting over Brandon Ingram. And Brandon Ingram might have, you know, the better and longer career over Luol Deng. But that'd be kind of tough to do considering everything, you know, Deng has been able to accomplish in his time in, you know, in the NBA. And for somebody like that, who, you know, people think, oh, well, he's just a veteran leader. He's a veteran presence who's going to help the kids grow. The thinking there is a little short-sighted because somehow, even with that being the hope, but the hope actually should be that he produces a little bit in the first year of a four-year deal on the court so that the Lakers can get a return on that investment. So I actually think Luol Deng, I'll be interested to see how he does, you know, at the three, which is what he's played most of his career. But last year he played at the four, and that's where he was easily most successful. And if he plays at the four, then that means that the Lakers might start going into a super small lineup, a lineup of death of sorts. And that makes the Lakers a lot more fun, right? Where you have a lineup of D'Angelo, Jordan, Ingram, Deng, and either Randall or Nance, and they just get out and run and switch everything and just push the pace like crazy. That's a really fun and an exciting style of basketball that we really haven't seen in LA in since the days of Nick Van Exel, really, that kind of pace. So that's what I'll be. Those two guys, D'Angelo Russell and Luol Deng, are the two guys who I'm most excited to watch this year. Let's see if I got a couple more at all from. Nope, nothing else from Twitter. So let's go ahead and jump into the Facebook comments. And again, make sure you send us questions. This only works if I get as many questions as I possibly can. So go ahead and ask me anything. It doesn't even have to be Laker-centric. Ask me about favorite movies, favorite music, favorite beer I prefer drinking during Lakers games. No, I would never do that. I'm working during Lakers games. But yeah, just ask me all kinds of stuff. Let's have it a nice open, as long as it's safe for work. Keep it safe for work. So the first question that we got on here is from Quan Narula. Boogie to the Lakers, ? I actually had this conversation last night. I went out and met a buddy for a couple adult beverages during that pitiful Rams-Niners games. I'm sorry, everybody. I'm sorry, Rams fans who are all excited to get a football team in LA. Maybe just ignore the Rams until Jeff Fisher is fired. Like that seems like the easiest way to get through the next couple years. Jeff Fisher seems like Byron Scott, but a little less. Oh, dang it. I just got a fine. Dang it, Harrison's going to send a tweet from my account. But yes, just don't watch Jeff Fisher coach football games. He's among the worst coaches in the NFL right now. But yes, I to get back to the topic at hand. My buddy and I were talking about how, you know, watching Shaq was back in the day. And yes, the Lakers were hugely successful. And I would not trade that three-peat nor that entire tenure that Shaq had in L.A. for just about anything, except for maybe a longer tenure in L.A. for Shaq and maybe a couple more titles. But with Shaq, the one criticism I had to a certain extent was the brand of basketball wasn't always that fun. It was kind of, you know, when Kobe was doing stuff, it was great. It was, you know, Kobe was going out and dunking over all kinds of people, and perimeter play is a lot of fun. And then when the Lakers were most successful, especially behind Shaq, it was dump the ball into Shaq and see how he goes throughout that game and make the team, kind of bend the team to your will. And that type of playing style isn't the greatest, I can't lie. And with DeMarcus Cousins, he's more mobile than Shaq, and he has a more perimeter-oriented game than Shaq. It wouldn't take much to have a more perimeter-oriented game than Shaq. But it would be much of the same stuff where, all right, let's see what DeMarcus has tonight and hope he doesn't foul out and hope he doesn't get into some technical issue. And then, you know, watch him bend the other team to his will. And at least with Shaq, he was so dominant that you were kind of guaranteed a playoff spot if he was on your team, if not a final spot if he was on your team. And that just isn't the case with DeMarcus Cousins. He's not as good as Shaq. And if the Lakers have to give up, because the Kings are going to ask for an arm and a couple legs probably to get DeMarcus, the Lakers would probably have to wager their entire future on getting Boogie. And you know, I just talked a second ago about the exciting brand of basketball that I'm looking forward to watch with the Lakers. And we wouldn't have that with DeMarcus. It would be kind of a return to dumping the ball back in without the guarantee of winning. And I'm just not really that interested in it, especially for what it would probably take to get him. Now, Quan asks, where should Boogie be traded? I want to see him go to the Spurs. The fit wouldn't be great because they already have LaMarcus Aldridge, and this would probably never happen because he's not the Spurs type of player. But it's for that very reason I want him to go there. I want to see this aura of the Spurs completely change if they aren't able to turn around Boogie. Or if they are able to turn around Boogie, then that means the NBA has one more player who's really, really good with a decent head on his shoulders. So that's what I would hope. Aside from that, I don't really care where Boogie goes. There was another question here. James Owens III asks, any thought on the Lakers' positional flexibility? The roster seems to have a lot of players that can play multiple positions, allowing the Lakers to play any style. Completely agree. This is actually, I mean, it's not going to be a very good team. Don't get me wrong. But it's a fun team. And for what we've had to go through over the last couple of years, that's a nice place to start, where if the Lakers want to increase the pace with the team that with that roster or with that group of five that I spoke about a second ago, then great. That's awesome. You know, that's if they want to, if they have to slow the ball down a little bit more and they can, you know, maybe run with a lineup of Mozgov and Randall to, you know, and then surrounded by three other, you know, wings to punish more teams inside, then they can do that kind of thing. If they want to go super long, right, you can go with, you know, instead of Clarkson, you can go with Russell, Brown, Deng, and then, you know, four or five, it doesn't really matter at that point. And then just switch everything and get into all kinds of passing lanes and hope to score in transition as much as possible. They could do that kind of thing. So while, you know, the Lakers, we won't see some incredible jump in wins this year. I don't think we'll see that. But what we will see is a brand of basketball that covers a broad spectrum of possibilities, and with the vast majority of those possibilities being fun to watch. And the other thing, too, is, like, I'm a Vikings fan. I grew up at a time where the Rams weren't really in L.A., and I fell in love when they drafted Randy Moss. And that was a really fun team. They just happened to win a bunch. And right now, you know, and since Dennis Green, their coaching hasn't been that great. There was never really that comfort of, all right, I know my coach makes us better. And I feel that way right now with Mike Zimmer, that I trust him to do the right thing. You know, like right now they have the Sam Bradford issue. And when should they try to bring him in? They gave up a ton to get him. I trust that he's going to make the right choice there. With Luke Walton, I trust that he's going to make the right moves, not just for this season, but moving forward as the Lakers try to find out what they have moving forward. So, James, to answer your question, they have a ton of roster flexibility, positional flexibility, and that should be among the top five things people look forward to. When you guys read all those listicles, when, like, Rant Sports goes out there and says, you know, top five reasons to watch the Lakers this year and tries to get all the clickbait with bad writing, if one of those reasons isn't, you know, flexibility in terms of the ways that the Lakers can play, then it's just another reason to not read Rant Sports. All right, let's keep on going here. Matt Bazin says, all I do is win, 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 no matter what. I agree. That's what I'm trying to do. My fantasy teams are showing well so far. Ryan Calvillo asks, do you think the player to bring the Lakers back into contention is currently on the roster? Ooh, that's one of the better questions we've gotten. Great job, Ryan. All right, so let's see. If Russell is capable of being the guy, then yes, right? Then you have the point guard that you absolutely probably need in a point guard dominant league to succeed long term, right? And then from there, if, you know, Brandon Ingram turns into a couple, you know, he turns out a couple all-stars in his career, right, then you have two guys that the Lakers can lean on moving forward. If Julius Randle improves and gets more efficient, you know, last year his counting stats were good, but his efficiency wasn't very good. And if he, you know, somehow gets an all-star game here or there, then that's even better, right? And then you keep on going down the line, and you could see how the pieces are in place for the Lakers to turn this around. But I think it all starts with D'Angelo Russell. He has to be borderline at least superstar or one of those kids. You know, they can't have all of these kids just be solid pieces moving forward. One of D'Angelo Russell, Brandon Ingram, Jordan Clarkson, though it's kind of late in his career for him to turn into it, Julius Randle, Larry Nance, one of those guys has to turn into an actual superstar, or else this whole rebuild takes kind of a hit, the kind of hit that you don't want to get. So great question, though, Ryan. Matt Graziano, what are one or two lineups you would like to expect to see a lot of this year? I've answered this kind of already, but I'll go ahead and I'll expand on it. So I already talked about the super small lineup, and I talked about the super long lineup. But I think the Lakers' overall best lineup is going to be, you know, their starting lineup is probably going to be D'Angelo Russell, Jordan Clarkson, Luol Deng, Julius Randle, and Timothy Mozgov, with, I think, eventually Larry Nance Jr. slipping into the starting five, but just for fit issues. And we've already talked about that quite a bit as to why that would happen. Quan, again, if the NBA can block trades like Chris Paul to the Lakers trade, should the NBA be able to block free agency moves like Durant to the Warriors? No, because it's apples to oranges, and you kind of say it in the question itself, right, where you ask, you know, about trades and free agency. Free agency is a player-centric move. It's a choice that a player has made, and it's an ability that the players' union has negotiated for, going back to the famous game where Jerry West, Elgin Baylor, and Oscar Robertson and all those guys sat out. They actually sat out. They threatened to sit out an entire All-Star game. I believe it happened at halftime or something like that, either right before the game or at halftime, where they said, we aren't going to go back out there unless we get this figured out. And that planted the seeds to get free agency into the NBA. And that's where we have it right now. So you can't now go backwards and say the NBA is not going to allow free agency moves. I hope all that made sense. Wayne, where's Harrison? Harrison is not here. Harrison is in school right now. He's a good schoolboy. He took his backpack to school, probably gave his teacher an apple, and is hoping to be the teacher's pet. Doesn't he seem like that kind of guy? He seems like that kind of guy. So, that's where Harrison is. He'll be back tomorrow. And we actually have a really exciting interview coming up for you guys later in the week. Congratulations to Kobe Carl for getting hired as the Defenders' new coach. All right, last couple questions. Carlos M. Zapata, prediction for Brandon Ingram's rookie year. I think he'll get about 20 starts or so. You know, he'll start a quarter of the games, maybe a few, maybe a couple fewer than that. And then, in terms of stats, it's kind of hard to say with stats because I don't see him being even among the top four usage rate guys on the Lakers. So from there, it's kind of when can he get himself opportunities to succeed with the basketball enough to actually provide stats. So it's kind of hard. I'm sorry. I kind of ran around the question a little bit, but that's what we're at with Brandon Ingram. Last question from Wayne again. How long should we wait for any of the kids to be transcendent? See, that's a tough one, right? But I would say usually with superstars, you know, within, I'd say, 3, maybe 4 years. It's pretty rare that you're waiting till year 5 and all of a sudden you say, oh my God, this guy's a superstar. I can't honestly, even Kawhi Leonard kind of jumped up, but he was a finals MVP before everybody started really calling him a superstar. From there, you know, Kobe back in the day, even in his first year, people were saying, wow, he might have it, but it took to the second year, but it didn't get anywhere near the third and fourth year before people really said, okay, yeah, this guy's legit. So I would say for Russell, he's going into his second year this year. We'll need to see at least flashes of superstardom. And then in his third year, we hope to see that he makes that giant leap that everybody, you know, and it happens pretty often for third-year players. Anybody who's played fantasy basketball knows to target third-year guys as upside guys. In his third year, he needs to make that jump, and I think that's when we'll really know. So another good question. Great questions today, guys. This was a lot of fun. Not much to update regarding the Dodgers. Still 0-0, now in the top of the seventh. They're playing in New York. Shouts to Pantone, I think it's 231, for what they did. They actually appeared on the telecast for out roll calling the roll callers out there at Yankee Stadium. So shouts to those guys. Hope everybody's enjoying your week so far, and we'll be back again tomorrow with Harrison and I finding something to talk about. We'll probably expand on some of these questions because they were that good. So thanks for those who provided questions. Again, you can find this podcast. If you missed anything, you can go back and watch the video, or you can, I would advise selfishly that you subscribe to iTunes or find us, you know, linked on Audio Boom. Silver Screen and Roll circulates it. Today's Fast Break circulates it. The RSS feed goes to Stitcher and TuneIn. I'm working, because we've had a couple requests for Google Play, I'm working on Google Play now, though we saw how that went with SoundCloud. So hopefully it's a little bit better than SoundCloud, or we're more successful with Google Play than SoundCloud. And yeah, have a great week, everybody. Shouts to Vlade Divac.
Progressive presents Mind Flowness with Flo.
You are a mighty fortress of supreme knowledge. Progressive Direct has not only revealed their rates, but those of their competitors. If you were any more in the know, you would be drowning in, you know, the know.
Compare Progressive Direct rates with competitors' rates, because knowledge is power. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.